So this morning, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know why. Just about the goodness of the Father, as we sang that song, the glory of your goodness, just what God is busy doing. It's just, this week I had a privilege to attend a meeting, and I know it was kind of called by another church, but we sat down with some church leaders, and I had the privilege to talk to our mayor. You know, he was standing there. He was actually chairing the whole meeting. And afterwards, I could go and share something with him. And you know what? Again, publicity is publicity is publicity. And what you see is not always what you get. And I know there's a lot of things we can say. But the one thing that I know that the Lord is asking us to do is that we pray for our leaders. And we need to pray for Colin Sylvester as the mayor of this town a lot more. He stood up there and he's standing for Jesus. And on the 24th of November, churches are going to get together. And I have been part of things like that in Cape Town, and I've seen stuff like that happening. But what's going to happen is we're going to go down 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll have church in the morning. We'll go down to the recreasi area. We'll be there. I'll most probably get a table and we'll set up similar to the table that we have here. We'll have cups there and things, and we'll actually at one point we will break bread together. And I'm telling you what I saw on Tuesday night. When was it? Can you remember? Thursday night. What I saw on Thursday night was very different to a lot of times that I've spent time with church leaders in Oudtshoorn. I've been here close on 7 years now, and what I saw there was something very, very different. And we had all the religious leaders there from all churches, traditional churches, all the way through. So what I'm going to ask you, Josh Jane, is that we be part of that on the 24th. I will make the announcement again. I'll show you a little video clip next week and the week after that. But we go and we break bread with this town, because we need to be on this sense that I feel like this is something the Father is doing. Not just a church is doing this. Not just the mayor is doing this. But the Father is doing something. There's going to be flags up. You'll see them in Baron van Riede. You'll see them in Langenhoven. And you'll actually see it, that if you could see it from the top, it would be in the sign of a cross. White flags of surrender unto the Lord. And the mayor said they'll pay for all of that. They want to bless this town. They're praying for this town. And he's actually soliciting our prayers and asking that we keep on praying and make wise decisions in governance. And he realizes without Jesus, we're dead in the water. Without the Holy Spirit, we're dead in the water. So church, let's be part of this. Let's rise up and let's go and pray for these people and pray with them. It's a wonderful opportunity, I believe, with my whole heart, that we can be a blessing to this town. And don't stop praying. Don't stop believing that what God wants to do in and through us as a people. Okay? So this morning I felt in my heart to share on what is a spirit-filled church. Maybe we can get that slide up there quickly. The spirit-filled church, what should we look like? Okay, so to start off, I want to say that a spirit-filled church was the normal experience of the church in Acts. If you read the book of Acts, that's the normal. When the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, the church is birthed and we see Peter praying and preaching under the anointing, and the Spirit has fallen in that upper room, and 3,000 people get saved on that day, and they ask and they cut to the heart, the Bible says, and they say, what must we do? And Peter is saying to them, this is what I want you to do. Save yourselves from this wicked generations. You need to repent. You need to believe. You need to receive Jesus Christ. This is what I've preached. You need to be baptized, but you also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's a normal experience that we see in the book of Acts, and it's expected pretty much of every church in every age. And so in simple terms, what does a spirit-filled church look like? It is composed of spirit-filled believers, irrespective of their position in the church. It is composed of spirit-filled believers, irrespective of their position in the church or their degree of maturity. Right now, as I look across this hall, there's people that got saved a few years ago. There's people that have been saved. Who's been saved longer than 30 years? Anybody longer than 30 years? Okay. So there's people that's been saved longer than 40 years. Anybody here? So 30 years is pretty much. That's a long time, people. Anybody saved that got saved in this year? Just be bold. And you got saved this year. Put up your hand. There's people that got saved this year. So irrespective of the position that you are in right now, or the maturity level, this is the church. Okay. You're Spirit-filled. So every believer has received the Holy Spirit at the moment of regeneration. In other words, when you're born again, that moment you receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul says it very clearly in Romans 8 verse 9. Can we read that quickly? Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. In other words, that moment you say, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, that's the moment the Holy Spirit actually comes and He lives within you. Okay. So the moment we are born again by the Spirit comes in us as a resident. I want you to get these two words right. He becomes a resident. But when we allow Him, or we surrender, we actually spoke about it just now, to Him, He fills us and He controls us and He becomes president. Okay. So He doesn't just reside in us, but He presides. So He rules over you. So there's a moment that He becomes the resident. He's with you. You know that. But then you keep on being filled. And it's a continuous thing. And it's something that He is actually asking us to be filled all the time. As you give out, you get filled again. Okay. Then He becomes president over you. So not just residing, but preside over you. Somebody once said, he says, the Christian church can only adequately fulfill its function in the world when every member knows his Spirit fullness. The church can only act and be functional and actually be working properly. Ephesians says, as each part does its bit, and that's something I felt for next year as well, that the Lord is calling each one of us, as each part does its bit. And so God has sovereignly made this provision available for us. Our responsibility is to make His place available. You need to open up your heart this morning. Are you willing to allow Him to preside and to guide your life? Your answer determines whether you will experience His filling or not. And remember, Scripture teaches that when we believed, we received all of the Holy Spirit, we can possess that. All of it. The question now is, how much of each of us will He possess or control every day? It is one thing for you to have the Holy Spirit, but another thing for the Holy Spirit to have you. So so a lot of people, yes, I follow the Holy Spirit, I believe, but sometimes I'm asking them, how much of the Holy Spirit, not how much do you have, how much of you, Him, does He have of you? That's what I meant. Okay, you got me on that one. Okay. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to have you. So I want to look at an example in the book of Ephesians, at the church of Ephesus. And Paul is constantly talking about being filled. He's constantly, and this verb that he is using here is in the plural. In other words, it indicates for the entire church, not just for the church in Ephesus. So the language that Paul is using here to be a Spirit-filled church, he's saying, church, this is for everybody. This is not just for the church in Ephesus. This is for every single church of all ages. So, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, quickly, that we can look at that together. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read from verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled, and that's that word he's using continuously in the plural, with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Be careful. He starts off with that. He says, be careful. So verse 15. And that's a command he's actually calling us. This is a lifestyle. He wants us to continuously be careful and keep watch. Continuously, he's saying that. He says, it's not just like a once-off thing in your life. He says, be careful. Let's quickly put that verse up, verse 15. Look carefully. That's a command that he's making. Be careful, little children, of what you see and what you do. It's a lifestyle. Something only possible. I promise you, it's something only possible when you yield it to the Spirit to be careful of how you walk. Because now the Holy Spirit is guiding you. The Bible says this. It says very clearly that the Spirit will come and he will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Holy Spirit is the one that's going to teach us concerning all these things. The next thing is how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of the time. This word is redeeming the time. Koop die tyd uit. It says in Afrikaans. Koop die tyd uit. Jesus het vir ons tyd uitgekoop. Deur vir ons aan die kruis te sterf. Do you know that we deserve death? But yet, redemption came. He redeemed it. And this morning, I want you to redeem the time that you have as well. And listen, I can tell you of all the things that I've done this week and how busy I've been, but at one point, you've got to stop yourself and make yourself available for Jesus. You got to stop and think and look around. And you got to find his presence like David did, like most of the men of God did. Lord, I hunger and I thirst for you. Coming to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Redeem the time. Because, why? Because the days are evil, he says. And don't be foolish, but understand what is the will of God. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he continues on. It's all of these things are in the present tense. If you look and you read it in the Greek, it's all in the present tense. He says, now, this is what you do. This is not something that needed to be done or maybe. No, it's now. He says to them, church, this is what I want you to keep on doing. This is not something that I'm just giving you instruction now. Just keep on doing it for a little while. He says, keep on keeping on, basically. So the command of being filled that we see in Ephesians 5:18 is not a suggestion, but a command. It is every believer's responsibility. Again, it's in the present tense. He says, now, please, today, don't let this day go past, but be filled. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It should be a habit. It should be a lifestyle. It follows that no believer understands or is in the will of God who is not filled with the Spirit. We cannot properly know what God wants us to do and find his will unless we are Spirit-filled. He says, you know what? It will be like a man that is actually boxing aimlessly. Ruan shared that word. Are you running this race with endurance? Is there a purpose to this race? Did you just climb on? I remember back in the day, the gospel train, and you just climb on, and ja, hier gaan ek nou na glory toe, dankie. Jesus, ek is op my treintjie op pad hemel toe. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like a boxer that's, you know, just hitting aimlessly. There's nothing really happening in my life. I said to the police guys the other day, it's like your mark time. If you've been in the army, there's a place of mark time. And you just stand and you just don't do much. But the Lord says there's an aim, there's a will that God's got. And this is what Jesus did. He says, not my will, but yours be done. Do you believe that Jesus actually asked the Father and said, I don't want to die? He says, let this cup pass me. But not my will, but yours be done. He actually asked his dad and he says, Dad, I don't want to die. But he knew he needed to fulfill the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father for your life? This is a repeated action. This is not something that you just do once. It's also interesting that you need to note that this filling is not something we do, but something we allow the Spirit to do. My heart got so sore in this week, and I shared it at the prayer meeting. I was watching this video about a guy having these cups. He doesn't have cups in his hand, and he's drinking from the Holy Spirit, and he's getting drunk and drunk and more drunk. And I was like, man, and he's got a crack house for the Lord. You get high on Jesus, drunk in Jesus. I'm like, man, come on, dude. That's not the way it is. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. It's not something that I can physically do and make like I'm drinking something. This is something. Our part is to acknowledge our need and to willingly surrender our will to the Spirit. That is the part that I can play, is to acknowledge and say, Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you. I'm thirsty for you. I'm hungry for more of you. And I am willing to surrender my will. I would also add that given that the Spirit is holy, we also need to keep short accounts with Him and continually confess our sins when He brings them to our mind. And 1 John 1 verse 9, one of these beautiful verses that we have, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this verse, but we need to confess it. So have short accounts with the Holy Spirit. If He reminds you of things that's in your heart, come to Him and say, Holy Spirit, I have sinned. I am sorry. You see, if we confess, this is also in the present tense. So in other words, this is also a lifestyle. This is also a habit that needs to form in our lives. So filling and to confess our sins is not something, well, I come once a week and then I do my confession, or it's an everyday thing. As the Holy Spirit reminds us of these things, have short accounts with Him. I have this theory. It's a theory. I'll say it again. It's a theory. The Lord says, be perfect as I am perfect. Okay. You've read that scripture. That's in the scriptures. So every time that we sin, we can have a board. It's like there's sin that's written up there. But every time that we repent, He washes that clean. Right there at that moment, you are perfect. At that moment of repentance, the Father looks at you and He says, my son is perfect right now. Or my daughter is perfect. See, Jesus is calling you. That's it. He's got your number. Short accounts with the Holy Spirit. But that moment, He washes it clean. And the Bible says He remembers your sins no more. It's done. As far as the east is removed from the west, He removes your sin from you. At that moment, don't you think that is a moment of perfection right there? Right there. Why do you think David was called a man after God's own heart? Because he had short accounts with the Lord. And he was quick to repent. And I think the frequency of repentance, that's where perfection comes in. The quicker we repent, the quicker that we say, Lord, we're sorry, we've made mistakes. That's the point where you're clean and clean and clean and clean. And that's the point of perfection. And be holy as He is holy. That for me is just something that I've been thinking about my whole life, really, as a Christian. Having short accounts with the Lord. So this verb, be filled, is... it's also commands, and it applies again, like I said, to the whole church. This is not a suggestion to some churches that feel like they want to embrace the Holy Spirit. This is to the whole church. So I want to say to you this morning, those that are not led by the Spirit, they're not the sons of God. That's the word. I preached on it 3-4 weeks ago. What are you saying, Stefan? Well, I'm saying not everything that says church above the door is church. And you'll see it. And this is not me judging. This is not a judgment that I'm speaking out. You'll see it. Because judgment will start at the house of God. God's going to come and He's going to separate goats and sheep. That's also scripture. But you'll see it when the tests are coming. You'll see it when people stand up for righteousness. When people stand up against certain things. When they are challenged and faced with sin that is entering in. And as the world wants us to become looking more like them, then the world must actually look more than like us. The world, we shouldn't be infiltrated by the world. We should be infiltrating the world. We should set the standard in the world. The Word of God is the standard. Not what Josh Jen or what Stefan says or one or two other people in the church is. No, the Word of God is the standard. There's a general illiteracy in the world right now about what the Word of God really says. There's two words that we use in theology, exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis is if you rightly actually take the word for what the word says. Eisegesis is like, I'm going to interpret it my own way. What I think it means. And then people take things out of context. And they interpret it their way. And this is the mess and the dilemma that we have today in the world. Where the church is not rising up. The church is not Spirit-filled. This is what's going to set us apart, is the fact that we are Spirit-filled. It's going to set us apart. And because you are Spirit-filled, you're going to be hated. Because you are Spirit-filled and led by the Spirit. And because you're a son and daughter of the Most High, people are going to persecute you because they hated Jesus. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus. It shouldn't scare you because you are walking in the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. Charles Swindoll, he said this, I don't know of a more important verse in the New Testament for the Christian than Ephesians 5:18. The verse tells a believer how to live an authentic, empowered life. Ray Pritchard said this. He says he describes how we are to be filled with Spirit. We need two things. We need emptiness. If I want to fill something, it needs to be empty. If I want to fill this cup, it needs to be empty. It can't be full. Full of myself. Full of my self-importance and full of my ideas. I have to empty this cup and let the Holy Spirit fill Himself. Fill this cup again. Sometimes God needs to stretch your cup for the capacity that He wants to pour out His Spirit upon you. But we need to be empty and we need to be open. We can't fill a jar or a cup that is already full. And you can't fill a jar that is not open. There must be a sense of need. Lord, I am empty and I need to be filled by your Spirit. There must be a willingness. Lord, I am open to you. Let your Spirit fill me now. The Spirit, the filling of the Spirit is really as simple as that. As long as we're conscious of our need and as long as we are willing to yield to the Lord, we can be filled with the Lord because His power is available for us all day long. He actually called it fillability. What's your fillability? How much can the Holy Spirit fill you today? Or is there so much stuff in there of yourself? I've once said that you're so full of yourself that you can't swallow your own pride. That's true. That's true of me. I'm pointing those fingers at me. I'm so full of myself most days and conceited that I can't swallow my own pride. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us, Jesus. So let's summarize what a Spirit-filled church looks like. I'm almost done. First and foremost, what does a Spirit-filled church look like? The members are continually speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does that mean that you have to sing to one another every day? No, not really, but I'll explain to you what it means. Okay. So ek sing vir jou 'n liedjie, Bernard. Mag die Here jou seën. That's not it. Okay. But that would be beautiful if we all spoke to one another like that. Hey. That would be awesome. Hey? It would be a constant musical. Yeah, that would be like Mamma Mia on steroids, you know? Pretty much. Yeah, I don't like musicals. I just have to say that. So as an aside, this fruit of filling enables you to discern whether he is filled with the Spirit. For out of the mouth comes which fills the heart. In Matthew 12:34 says this to us. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in other words, the connection that Paul is really making is, he says, what's in your heart? Because the stuff that is going to come out of your mouth and what you're going to say to one another, there's a connection to your heart. Be careful. So if there's fights amongst you, in actual fact, I read this scripture the other day in 1 Corinthians. He says, there's factions and there's fights amongst you because God needs to show himself proper. Who is for the Lord and who's not? So in other words, this is a place. It's like a watershed moment. This is a place where he's saying, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? When the Spirit fills or controls our heart, wholesome speech proceeds from our mouth. So ons gaan nie meer skinder nie. Ons tel die stompies op en oudsoring nie. Because I tell you, I want to preach on this. On telling stompies op en oudsoring. I want to call it telling stompies op en oudsoring. Because we pick up little things. And we pick up little stories about people in this town. Then they come to church where they should be. And we judge them because of what we've heard about them. People, we can't do this. People need to feel safe in this place. I don't care if you've murdered somebody. I don't care. Because Jesus doesn't care. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. How can I judge you, Jan, because you sinned differently to me? I am a sinner saved by grace like you. How can I judge you? How can I sit here Sunday after Sunday and don't like that brother because he's making more money than me? Let me call it out, people. Or that one. Oh, he's got that new pair of Nikes that I always wanted. Now, he must have gotten a bonus. I didn't get the bonus. Ons wens vir niemand geluk nie. Ons wil hulle net afsny. And we want to judge them. People, we need to love them. And we need to speak what the Lord says, not what we've heard is to be true about them, what we have accumulated and all the little informations that we've had. Also with Oppo Skinner, the Bible says, gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it. We love to swallow gossip. Let's be careful of those things. But because the Holy Spirit, when he fills us, he fills our mouths as well. On the other hand, when unwholesome speech proceeds from our mouth, Ephesians chapter 4, let me quickly read that. He says, let no one corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such is good for building up and fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Can I read it again? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. That's what the Lord is calling us to, church. A higher standard than the world. I'll call for salvation just now, okay? If you want to get saved. We can be known, but we have grieved the Spirit, and at that moment are not controlled by him, but by our sinful flesh. I want to ask you, even this morning, how were your words this morning? If unwholesome, then confess them to the Lord so that you do not continue to grieve the Spirit. The second thing, the members of the body continually sing and make melody with their hearts to the Lord. In other words, he is to be, there's an audience of one for whom we actually want to please. Worship unto the Lord. This is what a Spirit-filled church looks like. is not just a people that love one another, that stand together, but also a people that sing unto the Lord. We seek to please Him, an audience of one. The third thing is, the members are always giving thanks for all things. Doesn't matter what we go through. Notice the two key adjectives that you see here. Always and all things. A continual attitude of gratitude. I went into my notes at the beginning of this year of just looking back at the things. And one of the things I said to the leadership team this beginning of this year is that we will have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Even in the face of trials and afflictions. And actually, sometimes I want to say these hard times, it produces. So if I had a tube here in the front and it said nothing on it, not the word nothing, just there's nothing on it, you wouldn't know what's inside that tube until I squeezed it. If I start squeezing and the pressure is applied to that tube, you'll start seeing the contents of the tube. And so often we call ourselves Christian. We have the little label. We wear the little cross. We have the little fish on the back of our cars. But ultimately, it's what's inside that matters when the pressure comes. Because I've seen many people with fish in Psalm 91 on the back of their cars that drive like absolute hooligans. And they're the first ones to swear at you and give you a choice sign. And it's not the indicator. Okay. I've seen people with their little Jesus t-shirts and they are the people that are the most sour people on planet Earth. They look like they're baptized in vinegar. How's it going? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He's my papa, Baptist. The joy of the Lord is. I don't know. Attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Let's move on. The fourth thing is, they are continually willing to submit themselves to each other. Did you see that verse? It's the last verse. That we submit ourselves to one another. Not just you submitting yourself to me as a leader or some of the leaders in this church, but to one another. Because we fear Christ. When we surrender to the Spirit, He will enable us to willingly surrender our right to be in control in every situation. It's the Spirit that works all of this together, this mutual submission in the body of Christ will be manifest by this mindset. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, this is the mindset that we should have. Philippians, I'm skipping a few verses, as you can see. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant, say more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. That's the church. This is the mindset that Christ wants us to have. This is what a spiritual church, I'm just painting you a picture of a spiritual church. And you know what the amazing thing is? You think, oh Lord, but that standard is so high. Well, yes, it is that high. And you cannot do it without the Spirit's help. That's the amazing thing. That's why you need to be continually filled. That's why He can't just reside in you, but He needs to be the president in your life. He needs to preside in your life continually. In short, such submission to one another is not natural, but supernatural, as the Spirit empowers each member of the body to have an attitude of humility and selflessness. Supernatural. The fifth thing is, in the context of all of this, being spirit-filled enables the members to continually walk wisely. Spirit-filled people will walk wisely. They make wise decisions. Spirit-filled people will redeem the opportunity God provides for them. In other words, if there's something that God wants you to do, He'll open your eyes so that you can see and walk through that door. And they will understand God's will supernaturally. But I want to say something, and this is in ending. All of this that we've read up to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 21, it doesn't finish there. If you continue reading the book of Ephesians, this is the beginning. He says, this stuff will, the Holy Spirit will actually permeate into every area of your life. Have a look with me quickly. In your marriage, Ephesians chapter 5. Can we pop up those verses quickly? Ephesians chapter 5. This is our marriage. So the Holy Spirit will help us in our marriage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. This is directly after he's asked us to be spirit-filled and be led by spirit. Not be drunk with wine. He says, this is the one thing that it will affect. Spirit-filled people, it will affect your marriage. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Can pop up in the next few verses. John 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Verse 31. Therefore a man shall leave, and he's giving that verse that we see in Genesis chapter 1. Holy Spirit, we need you in our marriages. The next thing is, Holy Spirit, we need you to help us with our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Children. He continues now. So he's now from the marriages. He's going, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Marriages, children. Let's look at the next one. He continues. Verse 5, Ephesians 6, 5. In the workplace, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart. If you work for somebody, you're a slave. Okay? That's your name up there. Okay? Just saying. If there's a boss here, you're the master. Just putting it in context, that if you didn't know which one it is. Boss and class, okay? There we go. With a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening. Okay? Masters, stop your threatening. Knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. So he's helping us and showing us, not just with our marriages, our children, but it also affects our workplace. And then the next one is coming. It affects our warfare. Look at this. Following one. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor. And then he continues with that. And you know that whole portion. Why? Because we need the Spirit when we do warfare. And then the last one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It affects our prayers. He's helping us. Holy Spirit is not just helping us with our marriages, our children, our workplace, our warfare, but in our prayer life at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray for the saints. I want to remind you that I, under the Lord, have called prayer meetings on Wednesday night. We will have it here. We can pray here on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. People, I want to ask you to to not neglect prayer. Under the Lord. I know we're all busy. 1 hour. You would have been in community that time. But it's easy. If I have to cut something out of my day, let's just cut prayer out. Don't cut prayer out. Don't cut it out. There needs to be a devotion. A strong devotion to prayer. I'm telling you right now, without the Spirit, we can't do it. Without the Spirit, we will not pray. We will not be devoted. And then there's one last one. Sorry. Marriages, children, workplace, warfare, prayer life. And the last one is in Ephesians 6 verse 19 to 20. And also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Holy Spirit, I need you that I can tell people about you. I need the Holy Spirit to help me evangelize. The first thing I did when I became a Christian 27 years ago, the first thing that I did was tell my friends about Jesus. I didn't do that. My first words that came out when I walked into the army camp that I was in the Navy, the first words, the three people that I saw, the three guys I used to drink with, my drinking buddies, I walked into the room and I told them about Jesus. Why? Because that is what the Holy Spirit is asking of us, to be bold with our testimony. And Paul that wrote all of this, he says, Lord, you need to help me to proclaim this gospel, this mystery, boldly. Too many believers forget that in every area of our life, we are continually in desperate need of the power of the Spirit, who alone enables us to live as more than conquerors in Christ.